Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know I'm great.
Y'all ready for roll call?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm going to call out these names. If you hear, just say yes or here or present. Where is the DD Mekonkai? Mekonkai.
Lad McConkey.
Oh, there he is.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Eagles running back Saquon Barkley. Actor Taron Killam. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on this Friday. We are checked in with the Philadelphia Eagles facility. Saquon Barkley has a Zoom set up. All we need is Saquon. He's about to sit down Rich Eisen Show for hour number three. Taron Killam is about to join us as well. I just had a nice chat with the Rams fan in our in our green room. We had a chat with Tom Pelissero in hour number two. What's more likely is already in the books. What's going on right here in on this Friday program? Chris Brockman is in his spot.
Hey,
good to see you.
Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Jay Felly in your
what's
spot.
Up,
TJ Jefferson.
Yes.
How are you?
I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, do you, because you're conflicted. You're a Cowboy fan who has Saquon Barkley on his fantasy team.
Yes. But
that beat mine last week.
That was awesome.
That's fine because we have Saquon Barkley.
I wouldn't have heard the end of
in
it.
In our collective fantasy team.
And that works for us.
Oh. Layers of Eberflus is the name of that team.
We dominated.
We
last
are 1
week.
And 1-0 just like Matt Eberflus and just like Saquon Barkley.
Now here's the not great part about it, as I'm sure you're going to get to.
That he's an Eagle. Oh, speak to Giants fans, pal. Is he ready for us?
Yeah.
Is he ready for us?
Oh,
Saquon Barkley. How are you, Saquon? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So, boy, you had a nice time in Brazil, huh, Saquon? That worked.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I would say, going out there and getting the win probably was the best part. But finally be able to put on that Eagles jersey and go out there and have fun, play at a high level, and looking forward to building that.
Now, I'm sure it's everything's different, obviously, professionally for you in terms of where you're playing and the uniform color that you're in, and then you go out in a stadium you've never been. I don't know if you've ever been to the Southern Hemisphere in your life. Is that a first trip for you to Brazil?
No, I've been to Rio one time.
Okay.
I got to go there during Carnival.
Ooh.
So I got to see the culture and how beautiful the place is and had some fun. This one was a little more of a business trip.
Right.
I think we handled business.
Well, you had your own Carnival. How does that sound? You held your own.
Yeah, for sure.
So, because it looks, you look comfortable in it, Saquon. Is that an accurate description? You're already comfortable in this offense in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I would say definitely comfortable. Going back, watching film, felt like that. Even though I had a great game and we had a great game of offense, we still left a lot out there. So that's what I look forward to the most is improving on that and fixing up the little things and locking in on details and getting ready for Monday night.
What'd you leave out there?
We left right after. Won the game, did interviews, got on the bus, right to the flight.
No, what did you leave out there? You said you left a lot out there. What did you leave out there? I didn't see much left out there, Saquon, but I'm not an all-22 guy.
My fault. But yeah, some big runs. There was one run that come to mind where if I probably just keep going right, I get a lot more yards. But like you said, I don't have that vision, the whole field right there. So I can improve on that. And just in the game, whether it's in the system, making a guy miss here and there, or keep my feet driving instead of a 3-yard gain, could have been a 7-8-yard gain. Could have did better in a 4-minute drill, I felt like. But those are all little things that, when you go back, you got to be critical of yourself, because even in a win, you got to find little things you can improve on, because those are things that come back to bite you in you know what later on in the season.
So how does this offense suit you in a way that your previous ones perhaps did not, Saquon?
I think one, when you look on the field, is A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, Jahan Dotson. You know, the list goes on and on. Right then and there, there's so many guys you got to worry about and prepare for. So that just helps. But also Kellen, all the guys on the offense staff do a really good job, not only with myself, but putting us in a position to be successful, win our one-on-one matchups. And that's what the NFL is all about, you know, winning your one-on-ones and making the plays when the plays come to you. And I was able to do that on Friday in Brazil, and hopefully I can continue to do that the rest of the season.
Well, not to give away anything from the playbook, but what if you don't mind sharing, have you told Kellen Moore or Coach Sirianni that you're comfortable doing this and it's in the playbook, if not before?
For my mindset, what I told him from the second that I got here, and, you know, I've said it in the media and I said to the team, I feel like that I can do pretty much anything on the football field. I could run any scheme. I feel like I can catch the ball. I struggled in the pass pro in the beginning of my career. I feel like my pass pro has improved. So whatever they need me to do, I feel like I'm able to do. And that's kind of the mindset I have. And they gave me opportunities in camps to show that. So, and also in the offseason, training with Jalen and training with the guys and OTAs, just building those reps with each other and building the confidence. So when you go out there on Sundays or Fridays or Mondays, or Thursdays, it just all comes natural.
Saquon Barkley here on the Rich Eisen Show, and also getting set for Monday Night Football on Westwood One radio stations between the Falcons and the Eagles here on a Friday. So we haven't spoken since your departure from the New York metropolitan area. Are you surprised the Giants let you walk, Saquon Barkley?
I feel like, during the time leading up to the negotiations before I hit free agency, I didn't really hear from them, leading up to that time. So I kind of had the idea of what was going to happen. So obviously everyone got to see Hard Knocks. I wasn't really surprised by that. But I look at it as a blessing. I'm in a new chapter. I'm thankful, for all those guys over there in New York for the 6 years that I had there. Learned a lot. Feel like I won't be the player I am today or the man I am today without my time there. And now I'm in a new chapter, and I'm super excited about it and blessed with the opportunity and focused on taking advantage of the opportunity I have here and off to a great start. And got to be consistent. That's my whole mindset for this whole season. How consistent can I be? And that starts, getting ready for week two.
No, not to equate myself with you at all. We don't have the same quads, just as a for instance. But, I spent 7 years at ESPN before going to NFL Network. And ESPN was my identity professionally, right? Like, they gave me my start. They drafted me, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. But they let me walk. They let me walk to another spot. And, you know, it's a chip. It's still a chip on this. I'm 22 years now at NFL Network. It's still a chip for me. But I was still stunned, you know, and it definitely surprised me. I'm wondering if that leaves a chip with you, but trust me, everything's worked out for me. I'm very happy with everything that has worked out with the opportunity I was given to be let walk, but I'm wondering if you have a chip on that.
I think that's a great question, and no one ever presented that question to me. And I would agree. It does leave a chip on your shoulder, but I always have a chip on my shoulder, no matter what. I feel like that God's blessed me with a tremendous talent, and I want to go out there and try to be one of the best running backs to ever play the game. I studied all the greats, and, you know, the saying, study the greats to become greater. So did it leave a little chip on my shoulder? Did it hurt a little bit? Yeah, of course, but I am thankful for the opportunity. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they say the grass ain't always greener, but looking at them right here, my family's happy, I'm happy. I'm smiling more. It's just everything about me is trending upward. So I'm just super blessed with the opportunity, but a chip is on my shoulder, not just because of the Giants let me walk, just because there's something I want to do. I'm on a mission and I want to accomplish it. That starts, like I say, continue to go back to being consistent and getting ready for week two.
Yeah, and last one on this subject matter with you, when you mentioned Hard Knocks, were you aware John Mara, co-owner of the Giants, was concerned about you walking to Philadelphia? Were you aware of that?
Not really. But I'm thankful for Mr. Mayor and also Mr. Tisch, both of their families, for giving me the opportunity and drafting me there. And You know, seeing, you get to see it firsthand, you know, how much they really do appreciate me. They always showed it to me when I was there, but even on TV, you get to see that. So that definitely, you know, left a special place in my heart, and I've always had a special place in my heart for their families. Like you said, I know ESPN gave you the opportunity, yeah. And that's how I look at it. They're the one that gave me the opportunity to get drafted. And, you know, things didn't play out the way I would like to play out there, but even though I, you know, moving on, it's not like my career was over, and in my mindset is just beginning. I get a new chance, and I get a new opportunity, and feel like I'm off to a good start.
Yeah, that's for sure. Can confirm, just from my point of view, that you're off to a good start. You said on a mission. What is your mission, Saquon Barkley?
Be consistent. Be consistent. Every day, you know, someone challenged me to see how consistent I can be. Always been a very constant person. But how consistent can I be? And that's my mindset. Every day, come in 1%, get better, and improve. And you know, I feel like when I have that mindset, when I look back on the end of the season, I'm gonna be happy with how things played off.
So I know, you know, we've had this conversation before. Your dad once upon a time envisioned you wearing green professionally, right? Just for the other New York team, right, Saquon? Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Right. And my older brother's a Giants fan. So, my dad, he when we played the Giants, played the Jets,
yeah.
He wouldn't wear my uniform, and my brother won't wear the Eagles. We won't put on the Eagles uniform, but I know that they're rooting for me every week, and they're super excited to see me living out my dream.
Okay. And so, did you break the news to your brother personally?
Yeah, he knew. Okay. He knew. So, my dad's a Jets fan, my older brother's an Eagles fan. Giants fan. My little brother Ali, he's an Eagles fan, so he's probably a little more excited.
Last one for you. I know you've got to run. What do you think it's going to feel like Monday night football? You're in the tunnel. You're at home for the first time. You know, your first game as an Eagle was in the Southern Hemisphere. This is the real deal. You're on Monday night football. You're a Philadelphia Eagle coming off a 3-touchdown game. Whole country's watching, and you're in your new home stadium. What's going to go through your mind, do you think, Saquon Barkley?
Going back to being consistent and just living in the moment. I know the energy is going to be high. We play for a passionate fan base, and I'm super excited. I got a little glimpse of it in an open practice when we had like 50,000 fans come through. So I've been on the other side of it too, seeing how crazy they can get. So I'm excited to be on this side and the mindset to go out there and perform well and get a win. And, you know, that at the end of the day, that's what they want us to do. And the culture of this city, it's all about being tough and going out there and playing at a high level. And we're working our tails off right now so we can go out there and do that on Monday.
Saquon Barkley, I always appreciate when you say yes to appear on this program. Don't take it for granted. So thank you. Have a great time on Monday Night Football and look for more of my calls. You be well.
My pleasure. Always, man. Appreciate you.
Right back at you. That's Saquon Barkley. We are chatting right here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready for Monday Night Football. There he goes. The Penn State Philadelphia Eagle combination.
Mm-hmm.
Just one to root for, man.
Yeah, I wonder how Mr. Garvey would have pronounced his name, though.
Saquon?
Esquinon.
Esquinon. Definitely not.
Barclay.
Dude.
By the way, Rich.
That's a guy who's just, coming into the season, my top five storylines that are under the radar the most. And I mentioned him. Now, you could be like, wait a minute. What do you mean under the radar? The biggest free agency shock, although it wasn't terribly shocking, I always thought the Giants would never let him walk. Honestly, I never thought. And the pushback you get from Giants fans, like, well, if they had signed him, they might not have had, you know, Brian Burns or this or that. And I understand you're reconstructing your team, mm-hmm. but you're staring in the face having either A, a new rookie quarterback, or B, Daniel Jones again, and you're going to let Saquon Barkley walk? Certainly when you know the Eagles might take him? So clearly this has been discussed. So how is it under the radar? My under the radar sense and storyline was, will he be able to plus up the Eagles in the same way Christian McCaffrey plussed up the 49ers? And the similarities are right there. Because McCaffrey joined a Niners team that had made a Super Bowl, lost it. And then turbocharged an offense full of stars. Put them on a totally different plane. They're not splitting carries at running back. They're not wondering who their running back is. They're not wondering what the identity is when you're trying to run and have the pass come off the run. And then you got somebody that can catch it and run it, too. And, yeah, also had some injury conversation, right? Can he stay healthy? Yeah. Kind of similar. Joining the Eagles, they lost the Super Bowl. They have stars everywhere else. The run game, with all due respect to DeAndre Swift, this is a different story. Can he plus up the Eagles in the same way and turbocharge them the same way that Christian McCaffrey did for the 49ers? One game in, the answer is
yes.
You bet.
Big yes.
You bet. You bet. Because Hurts wasn't having too much success finding some of his receivers down there in Brazil on Friday night. Like, that passing game wasn't as stout as, say, the passing game was in their Super Bowl year. You know, the big play to A.J. Brown game.
Yep.
Right? So, look out, Atlanta. This would be a nice game for Bijan Robinson to just uncork some monster buck 50 scrimmage yard contest.
Yep.
Multiple score buck, like his breakout.
That would be great.
And I understand I'm saying that about a rookie guy who had, what, 1,400 scrimmage yards last year? I'm looking forward to Monday night. But Saquon plussing up the Eagles with a chip on his shoulder. Had you let me equating myself to Saquon Barkley?
Always.
But you pointed out the fact that the quads weren't exactly
the
same.
Yeah. My two quads together are half of his.
Probably true.
Nobody's ever looked at me and goes, there goes Quadzilla.
I mean, you're probably right about that.
No, I think I can confirm. I can say. Oh, I've got a spidey sense about what people say about me behind my back, pal.
You know what? Go run another 40 in your suit.
For instance, I heard that coming all the way from Boston when Zolak said it. Taron Killam, come on out. Here we go, everybody.
Let's go.
Jebediah Atkinson himself is joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show in support of his new show, High Potential. Don't go anywhere. Taron Killam when we come back. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Taryn Killam of the new show High Potential, premiering Tuesday, September 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC right here. And you can watch High Potential on Hulu as well right here on the Roku portal.
Hulu.
Ladies and gentlemen, just let me ask you the first question.
Here we go.
And I think it's rhetorical.
Okay.
Whose house?
Oh my God. I just was... No. It's Ram's house.
There we go.
Yeah. It's Ram's house.
That's the answer I was looking for. It's a rhetorical question,
listen,
right?
Listen, people still believe in us. It was a great game. I'm going to say it was the most exciting game of the first week of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
Only overtime.
That's true.
Neck and neck. We didn't get our hands on it in overtime. Montgomery took full advantage of the huge Aaron Donald-shaped hole in my heart.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. They're like, oh, wait,
that's
it's overtime.
Right, too.
And he's not here.
And the first four quarters, they were able to get past that.
Stafford looked good. Stafford looked so good.
Dude, when he's slinging it, there's really... I know that this is a... like hyperbole to say it, or it's an exaggeration, however you want to put it, but there's not anybody like him when he's slinging it like
truly,
that, you know?
Truly.
And I know that there's tons of great quarterbacks in this league, and Mahomes is one of them.
Yeah. No, for sure.
The no looks on third downs, and then he's just dotting.
Mahomes has that showmanship that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that, like razzmatazz magician flick it throw thing.
Yeah.
And Stafford's is such a steady, casual strength. And I mean, it does speak to like how important punctuation is, right? Because from every show that I am watching, they talk about that missed throw to Cooper Kupp right at the end there, where we probably would have been able to extend it, get the field goal, and win the game.
Right.
But like, that was one of three errant, and like barely errant. But that's the memory. But if you go back and watch that game, Stafford looked so the best that I think I've seen him as a Ram outside of the Super Bowl that we won.
Right. He was great in that one.
Perfect.
For sure. And everything worked out. I mean, every button was being pushed, including, that fourth down call that McVay had with Cooper Kupp running it.
Yes.
And it was all working. And just this time around, I just wish that, I don't know, obviously get that last possession back in regulation.
Yeah.
So you never give it back.
Right.
To Jared Goff to try and tie the game.
It's a little bit of an asterisk, right? In that, like, I don't want to take anything away from the Lions because they ran us over in overtime.
Puka didn't play with me?
But Puka was out. We didn't touch the ball. I love the Lions. I feel like they're our exchange family. They're like the foreign exchange family we stayed in, senior year of high school in France, and then they sent Stafford to us to live with us,
right.
And he stayed forever and got us a ring.
And they took their general manager from Les Snead's front office.
Exactly, exactly. I love Campbell. He's just like everybody's big teddy bear uncle. I'm very happy for the Lions. A lot of good friends are Lions fans. It wasn't like an outright loss, even though yes, it is a loss.
So I mean, not to go too deep football with you here, but we haven't had this conversation. We might as well with you, Taryn Killam.
I'm the guy.
Because that's the second time you've mentioned that you didn't touch the football in overtime.
Yes,
I'm kind of wondering if the league should have the playoff overtime rules in the regular season, where both teams are mandated to touch it, even
you
if you
like
score
that,
a touchdown
Bowman?
To start.
No.
It feels like a TV rule. It feels like, okay, we've gone overtime,
Well, the TV rule, the way that it's been described to me, is that if you do this in the regular season, you have to extend that final overtime period from 10 minutes to at least 15 minutes.
Right.
And then if that happens, in a, say, 1 o'clock Eastern game,
yes,
then it bleeds into that second window of football.
Yeah.
And when that happens, everybody else that's showing a game in that second window of football can't take a commercial television break.
Right. Because, understood.
And so it messes up a whole bunch of people.
Here's the compromise.
And then there's, you know, the player safety aspect of playing, you know, yeah, an extra
whatever,
5 minutes.
But
you know?
I'm thinking about Tide with Bleach.
yes, there's that.
This is the compromise I would make.
Yes.
If the team that has first possession scores a touchdown in under 5 minutes, the other team gets a chance. Like, you cap it at the time. Like, well, how much time of possession? No, Brockman.
No, that's just...
Here's the thing. They changed the rule for the playoffs. Basically, by doing that, they told everyone who likes football that offense is more important. Okay? So football is a three-phase sport. Mm. If you don't want to lose on the first possession in overtime, tell your defense to stop them. And then you get the ball back to win the game.
Dang. Except there's a fourth phase, which is the random chance of a coin toss.
There's that, too.
And I guess that's the rule.
Well, no defense, no special teams can strategize for a coin toss. Whatever,
but we have already discussed this based on the other overtime rules that when this happened with the playoffs, right, is that the opening coin toss. So many people win it and defer it
right,
because they want the ball to start the second half. They want to hopefully get the ball at the end of the first half, score, then score after halftime as well and have two possessions. That's the Patriots won 6 championships mastering that pretty much.
Chris,
and so
that's
and so,
a fix.
So, but if you do
talked about this before,
then you know you're not only giving the ball to whoever starts the game gets the ball first if there's an overtime.
Right.
So now you're actually adding strategy to the opening coin toss. Maybe more people will take the ball first to have that possibility in their back pocket.
Yes.
The other pushback here that I want to throw out, and then we can move on to your show and other fun things, is fellow Rams fan or Los Angeles sports fan Sean Mitchell of our program. Mm-hmm. He's a terrific producer and will be cutting up these videos digitally, expertly. He texted the group when this happened that the Lions scored first, Rams just lose.
Right.
That it's like losing a baseball game with a walk-off home run in the top of the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bottom of the 10th. Sorry, you should play better defense. Don't give up a home run. And then it's that unsatisfying.
Yeah.
And I heard that. That's not a bad analogy. It's like, okay, you go to extra innings.
Except the football team and baseball aren't the same. In baseball, the defense has the ball.
I'm aware of that. It's also, you know, not a rectangle, it's a diamond. I mean, what else does that mean?
So it's not the same, so you can't really equate them.
You're just pissed you lost, is basically what it all comes down to.
Listen, of course, I want them to win all the time. We looked so good. Losing Nacua is certainly, like, unfortunate and scary, and I hope he recovers very quickly.
Yes.
If you follow the Rams social media, it's been my sneaky suspicion all offseason that they're posing their strategy as the return of Cooper Kupp anyway.
He was amazing, man.
He's just incredible. I miss Aaron so much. Aaron was my number one, and we're gonna see how valuable he was throughout the season. And the organization did a good job of trying. You know, Jared Verse getting his first sack, and looks great.
The two Florida State guys look really good.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm still very hopeful. Of course, I wish we won. But it was a great game.
You know, we had Les Snead on during the summer, and he just threw out there that he would love to have Aaron Donald on the Eric Weddle plan. So if they make the playoffs,
we're all hoping it. I think we're all.
He's around here in L.A.
Yeah, for sure. He comes and he's been at training camp a couple times too.
He looks like he'd let himself go, don't you think?
You're saying that because he's not in the room.
No, he's only got a 5.5 pack now.
Yeah,
five and a three quarter pack.
Yeah. He went down 5.875 and a quarter. Yeah. His abs used to go up to his traps.
He's just sitting there having a, you know.
Well, his wife had posted a video on social media while they were watching the game. He looked very happy on the couch.
Yeah, he was passed out. He was sleeping.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But when you sleep is when you recover.
He was sleeping. Yeah, he looked very
was
happy.
Was he asleep?
Yeah, he looked very cozy on that couch.
Yeah, he was snoring during the game.
Yeah. I didn't see this.
Yeah,
she's recording him, and he's
snoring during the game.
Is he happy about retiring? And then he's passed out in the corner of a sectional, beautiful sectional couch.
Real, very lovely couch. Yeah. Looked very comfortable.
I got to see that. I missed that.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Let's talk about High Potential, which is premiering next Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
What do we need to know about this?
High Potential stars Caitlin Olson, who has a high potential intellect. She's a single mother just trying to get by, and she works as a cleaning lady for the Los Angeles Police Department. And there's a case file that falls, and she's able to sort of see the missing piece, and who they thought was possibly the suspect is in her mind actually the victim.
Yes, sir.
And so they sort of realize they have this secret weapon under their roof, and they hire her to be a consultant for them to help solve murder cases week after week. And I play her ex, or her baby daddy, but her ex-partner who looks after the kids while she's out making the world a better place.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a great show.
You're basing your character on anyone in particular?
Stay-at-home dads. Yeah, mostly Tom Brady, I think. Solid stay-at-home dads.
Mostly Tom Brady. That one caught me.
If I could design every part of my life to be more like Tom Brady, I would.
You know what?
Right.
I'm with you.
Mm. What do you think? I mean, my opinion,
yes, sir,
one of the greatest sports pundits, game callers, talking head personalities in all of sports history. How did he do?
Are you referring to me? Is that? Is
yes,
that
what it, you.
Oh my gosh!
I'm giving that to you.
How did he do? Is that? I think on occasion in the first quarter, first half, that he was definitely getting his broadcasting sea legs under him.
It
just it cannot be easy to do an endeavor where you're supposed to give an opinion, and it's supposed to be informative, if not occasionally humorous.
Yes.
And you got to do it in 15 seconds because you can't be talking with the next snap. And it seems easy, and it looks easy, and he knows it's not easy, and I'm sure he was very prepared. I know for a fact he was. Mm-hmm. The number of people whose brains he picked on this whole planet to set this thing up. But the bottom line, and so that, you don't know that until you start doing it.
Right.
And the one thing that will separate him is the ability to be able to equate anything on the field to what he's done.
But who would have thought 15 years ago that there would be a moment in time where everyone would say, Tom Brady should call Mark Sanchez for advice.
That's just wrong. Come on, Taryn.
Is it wrong?
That's just wrong.
You know, somewhere Mark Sanchez is walking around Southern California getting ready for his game on Fox, and he's just sort of like just sitting up straight wherever he is, or he's walking on the street, and he's just like grabbing the back of his neck, and he's wondering, What's happening?
Did my stock just increase?
What happened? Did I just catch something? Like, what? He's just like slapping the back of his neck, looking at his hand, like, what is that?
On Fox Lot, just walking around.
Fox Lot. They've got a blue bottle coffee now.
Yeah.
You're eating a hot dog while he's
too inside baseball. And we know that Brockman hates talking about baseball right now because baseball isn't football.
Baseball is not football. And baseball is basically over. Let's move on.
Well, That's a Red Sox fan. You're funny though. But it only take a matter of time till Brady just gets in the swing of it.
Yeah.
You imagine what's the first time you ever did something?
Terrible.
For the first time.
I mean, I took a Friday elective course in high school on stand-up comedy. And it was
what?
Awful. Yeah, I went to a really cool high school. I went to the Los Angeles High School of the Arts. LOXA is the acronym. And every Friday you could take like an elective in any kind of art. And that was actually the only time you did sports. So normally I took basketball on Fridays.
Yes.
And was pretty dominant, which isn't saying much at an arts high school.
So you were dominant for the LOXA basketball team?
Yeah. The LOXA elective 45-minute Friday class. I was the LeBron James. LOXA's Friday quarterly 45-minute elective class.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And then I did stand-up comedy. And, then it was not as good.
And you were not. So imagine 45 million people seeing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, tough.
I would want 45 million people seeing the first broadcast I ever did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in Redding, California. But, you know, that's what he signed up for.
And yes.
You know. He'll be fine.
He loves football.
It'll be just fine.
I would imagine he's doing Saints Cowboys. I imagine he's much better this week.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, that Tom Brady knows how to improve at things. I will say that. 50th year of Saturday Night Live.
It's coming up.
Is there any sort of reunion?
I don't know what's out there, but there's a couple events that they're planning that happen at the early part of next year.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll be in New York around February, I think.
Seven seasons you did there?
I did six.
Six seasons?
Yes.
All right. So I gave you one more. I gave you the extra point.
I wish they would have. No.
Who was there when you first arrived?
When I first got there, I don't know if you're listening to the Seth Meyers and Lonely Island podcast, but if you're not and you enjoy SNL,
yes.
It is a great listen. And they're breaking down all of their digital shorts chronologically.
Okay.
Wow. And as Seth likes to say, theirs was an golden era of SNL, and I do agree with him. So I came in at the tail end of that golden era, and it was Seth, it was Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis, Andy Samberg, Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader, and then Bobby Moynihan was there, Abby Elliott.
So you walked in, and you're the newbie in this soul situation?
Yeah, it was me and Jay Farrow and Vanessa Bayer and Paul Britton were the new crop in 2010.
Jay Farrow was sitting in that very chair last month and just doing Jay Farrow things.
Did he do impressions?
He sure did. He's very good at them.
He's maybe the best at them.
Right off the top of his head as well.
He is the level of impression where if you close your eyes, it might be the person.
Yeah, you can't tell for sure. Which is your favorite character that you portrayed or skit that you were in, if you could choose one?
Oh, man. I mean, there's many for many different reasons. The first sketch I ever got on that I was a co-writer on were these sketches that we just called French Dance, which were these sort of absurdist, silly physical comedy pieces.
Yes.
And the first one we got on was with Emma Stone, and we did that five or six times, I think. Maybe the most meaningful sketch was also in my first season with Jim Carrey hosting, because he's my hero. He's number one for me. And we did a sketch called The Maryville Brothers, where we were sort of possessed animatronics on a carnival ride, which is really fun because I'm a big Disney fan anyway, too. But at dress rehearsal, one of the most special moments was like, you know, I'm a newbie, like you said, and I'm part of this really impressive cast, and I got this sketch on, and my hero's next to me, and Bill Hader's to the right of me, and we do this animatronic thing, and it's sort of done, and, you know, we come up and down several times, but after the first one, we ducked down behind this plywood wall, and we got an applause break. And that felt great because I had not really achieved that yet. But also, like, to get an applause break on your dream job and look to your left and see your hero go, like, it's awesome, man. Way to go! You know, it was like,
you got the mannerisms.
The best feeling possible.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Wow. It was cool.
Because I was going to ask you, which host were you most excited to have met? And that's your answer there?
Jim Carrey with a bullet. And speaking of anniversaries,
yes.
The 40th, I was in a sketch with him there. I got to be a small part in The Family Feud. They brought that back with Will and Daryl and Norm as Burt Reynolds. It was surreal. That whole week was surreal. I did The Family Feud sketch, and I did the Californian sketch too, which had like Betty White and Bradley Cooper and Taylor Swift in it. It was just surreal moment after surreal moment.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson. Yeah, it's funny.
Him with
that's not my name.
Him just chewing gum,
it's
like Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
Like that what a great sort of way to send up, you know, the late Burt Reynolds by having just the gum chew, the way he would chew gum and
gum
just try
and gumption.
Right. And then the Californians is an incredible.
It's big hat. It's funny.
That's what I remember that too.
No, it was crazy. And Jim Carrey played McConaughey in The Family Feud. And like, you wouldn't notice if you watch it, but there's like a little stumble that he does live in the live special. And so it's me and Jay Farrow talking to him backstage.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I sort of tripped up. And we're like, dude, you're great. Nobody's even going to notice. And he's like, yeah, you wish you could get it back, you know? It's the beauty of live television. And like, it was great. And it was this vulnerable moment of him like kind of like beating himself up slightly. And I just seized that opportunity to go like, look, you know, I try to play it cool, but you are my guy. And I saw every movie, and I'd show up at, you know, recess the next day quoting every line. And to get to be here with you is so special to me. He's like, I know exactly how you feel. I look down that hallway and I go, that's Bill effing Murray. And I was like, this is the coolest. And then he gave Jay and I a ride in his car to the after party of the Plaza. It was like one of the greatest nights ever.
That's awesome.
Which I showed up to because after I was done with my two sketches, started drinking immediately. So by the time I got to the Plaza, I was pretty tipsy. And I walk in and my wife's meeting me there because there were no like plus ones of spouses for the current cast at that point. So I'm waiting for her to show up. I walk into this Plaza. It's everybody famous ever.
Yeah.
And I go straight up to the bar and I see Wynn Butler of Arcade Fire talking to Rihanna. And Rihanna is like big time crush for me. So I go up and I go, Wynn, how are you, buddy? Hello, Ms. Rihanna. What a show. Can you believe this? And they're like, yeah, it's great. It's really fun to watch. And how are you doing? I'm, well, you know, the show's on. I had a couple of drinks. Just waiting for the wife to show up. Sorry, Rihanna. Missed your chance. And she grabs my shirt and she goes, you're stupid. I was like, yes, wow. Ma'am. Yes.
Wow.
I am forever stupid.
What a night.
It was a good night. It was a great night.
You're stupid.
I'm stupid.
Hey, get that
by Rihanna.
You know what?
Stupid. I'd love to see that perfume commercial. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Her just like pulling on me and like poking me and stuff. That and then she goes, you're stupid. By sounds, Rihanna.
That sounds like a digital story.
Yeah, it should be. It should be.
Oh, my God.
That's too funny.
And where did, before I let you go, Jebediah Atkinson come from?
Yeah, that was a gift. That was like gifted to me by the Weekend Update crew, Seth. I remember it was one of those pre-tapes. I was in a digital short or a pre-tape the night before that got me home at like 6:30 a.m. And I wake up at 12 to a text of Seth going like, there's this funny idea we have for you. Come by Update on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go up there to the writer's room on 9 and we just read through it. It's really funny because of the actual story is that a newspaper finally, you know, whatever it is, almost 300 years later, retracts a negative review of the Gettysburg Address, one of the most beloved political speeches in history, in American history.
This is a real moment.
That actually was a moment. And so they said, we're going to have you play the guy who wrote the bad speech. And it was just the guy who is historically wrong about every beloved thing in arts and culture of all time. And was so fun. Fun to perform.
So like the worst critic in the history of critics.
Yeah, exactly.
To the point where a publication in the 21st century felt the need to issue a retraction of the bad review of the Gettysburg Address.
In the subjectivity of criticism, this is the guy who is objectively wrong every time and is so angry about it.
What are some of the things that they made
about? I remember there was, you know, we did like Christmas specials and he hated a Charlie Brown Christmas. It's like, hey, Charlie, you've got a pube on your forehead. Next!
While you're dressed in 1860s
garb. Yeah. 1860s velvet garb.
That's fun. It's so cool that they thought of you. They're like, hey, we got a character.
You hope for that opportunity because it's on you to come up with something good every week. And so when someone goes like, hey, I think I have something for you and it connects, it's a great gift.
And everything connects in life, Tarrant Killam. I don't think you would have gotten that if it weren't for the Loxa elective.
That's exactly right.
You had no idea you were prepping.
Yeah,
you had no idea.
They could sense my setup and punchline abilities.
And to hell with all the banners they could have hung.
Yeah.
If you had stuck to basketball. Just think about it.
Only student able to make a layup banner hanging in the Loxa gymnasium.
Just the Polaroid of the banner raise at the Loxa gym. It just got fuzzier and fuzzier with each elective for stand-up.
We could get Josh Groban to sing the national anthem. Loxa alum.
Is that right?
Yeah. Alum. He was my buddy. He graduated a year before me. He's 99.
What's his group hoops game like?
Groban
were a two-man game?
Groban's very funny. I don't remember if Groban took the sandwich class, but he's very funny. But yeah, the sonic wave of Josh Groban boxing you out is an advantage that you don't think you could have on a basketball court.
Write that down, Chris. There's got to be a fantasy team name in there.
Hold on. Sonic wave.
Josh Groban sonic wave.
Yeah, yes, Josh Groban sonic wave is a possible fantasy team name. High Potential premieres next Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC, and it's available on Hulu the next day right here on Roku. Good to see you, sir. It's
always a pleasure.
Anytime. Thank you, always good laughs. Taron Killam, follow him at Taron Killam on X, and Tarzan Knows, is that what it is?
Tarzan No Z. So no people Z. Go, what's your name? I go, Taron. They go, Aaron? I go, no, Taron with a T. How do you spell that? It's Tarzan No Z.
There you go. And that's how you follow him on Instagram. We're back to wrap up the show and send you to your weekend in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Dr. Brockman, we haven't used that drop in a while. Oh, there it is.
Oh.
What's going on? What injury updates do we have going out the door?
Some of the injuries here as we go out the door. So Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze really haven't practiced much this week for the Bears. They're both going to be game time decisions Sunday night. That's the latest. Chargers' Josh Palmer is questionable. Jordan Addison for the Vikings is out. So that's one less weapon for Sam Darnold against the 49ers. Hollywood Brown has been put on IR by the Chiefs.
All right, so
he's
going
to have
games.
Shoulder surgery.
Wow.
And according to Andy Reid, the recovery is, quote, months, not weeks.
Wow.
That's bad.
So the whole
news.
Concept of like, hey, the Chiefs looked the way they looked and they don't have Hollywood Brown yet.
Well, they're not going to have him for a while.
For a while. Like. Months.
Yeah, seems like maybe November at the earliest.
Oh, just in time for them to start pounding people in December.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, good for Xavier Worthy, obviously.
Right.
Russell Wilson, questionable. Nico Collins has been dealing with an illness all week, but he is going to play.
Okay.
T. Higgins, doubtful. Brian Daboll said Malik Nabers has been dealing with a knee, but he will be ready to play week two.
Those are your injury updates.
Those are your latest.
Well, guess what, guys? 10 early games.
Why do they do that?
10 early games, which means NFL Sunday Ticket is there for you. Mm, NFL Sunday Ticket, YouTube TV. When you bundle it together, you get the most live NFL games all in one place. The multi-view feature. When there's 10 at once, boy, that's as important to get the multi-view feature where you can watch four games at once on one screen up and running. It's a game changer for NFL and fantasy football fans alike. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games. Excludes digital-only games. Why do they do it? 10 early and it's 3 late.
10 is a lot in the early. I mean, eight is the perfect early window.
Well, I'm aware of that, but Baltimore, Jacksonville, Carolina, Washington, New England, Minnesota, Tennessee, Green Bay, Detroit, and Dallas. Those are your early. I mean, those are East Coast towns, right? I mean, I guess you can throw a 4 o'clock there, but you got Arizona, Denver, and Kansas City. Those are the 3 late window. 10 early, 3 late. Hmm. So, you know. You're going to have to wheel another television set into your room, folks.
We're
going to
have that double quad box.
Double quad box. And then so you're going to put 2 in one. You can have multi-view for 2.
That's what I mean.
So which 2 are you going to put?
It's all going to
Dallas and New Orleans has got to be one of them.
It's
for,
all going to be fantasy
you.
Related, really, to be honest.
Guys, I had a thought.
What is it?
I think you can make this happen because you got that type of stroke.
Okay.
We just had Mr. Garvey pronounce some names.
Yes.
I'm thinking, do we get in touch with some of our guys who are calling games, like Joe Buck or Al, to see if they could work one of these in? Can we get a Ladidi worked in? Can we get a Balake worked in?
I don't know if if Ian Eagle is doing Jets.
Well, he'll do it.
Having him calling it G-Reg Zerillion for a kick.
I just that's how,
it's possible. I don't know if he'll do it.
That's the icing on top of this cake.
I don't know who's doing
saying,
Jets. Ian is it would be my go-to on that.
You don't think Joe Buck would do it?
I don't know.
What about Al?
By the way, Ian and Charles Davis are doing Jets Titans.
I know my first phone call I'm making as soon as I get off the air.
That's it.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
What is the path of least resistance with highest ROI?
New episodes available every day.
People oftentimes are paying very close attention to what the Fed does to get signals on what's going to happen with mortgage rates, and it's completely wrong way thinking.
Whether it's real estate, on the market, rookie, or money.
And you can make just 6% on a deal. You can retire next month.
The Bigger Pockets podcasts are on YouTube or wherever you listen.